A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is now a good time to buy a house in Ireland?
Yes. Yes, buy one quickly. Some people said to me, I would say this because I'm a mortgage broker. Well, we're financial planners and we do a mortgage broker service. Massive difference. But house prices are only going to increase. We do not have enough supply to meet the demand, and we're not going to.
Sorry, before we start the podcast, if you're a regular listener and you're enjoying the content, please, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. These cost you absolutely nothing, but they just help us to be found by more people and to keep going with the content. So welcome to the next episode of the Get In Our Home series. This is the series designed to help home builders, homeowners and renovators to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals, but also homeowners themselves. My name is Peter Kilmartin, and in this episode, we travel to meet Paul from the Ask Paul group. This is another episode, a part of our professional series, where we talk to industry professionals about their area of expertise. And we ask all the common questions so you don't have to. It's so funny. In Ireland, we have such a really strange relationship with building houses and money. It's like we're obsessed with building and talking about houses, but yet we shy away from anything financial or money related. This episode with Paul is such a valuable one. If you're about to get a mortgage, if you're about to build a home, or if you have some questions around when you should be thinking about all this stuff, this is the episode for you. Paul is the ultimate straight talker and he really doesn't beat around the bush. So don't forget, you can also check out Paul and all the other professionals we filmed on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel or on the podcast platform you listen to this on. So without further ado, I started by asking Paul to give us an intro into who he is and what he does.
So Paul Murray, I'm CEO of PAX and Ask Paul. So Ask Paul was set up about 4 years ago and PAX 10 years ago. So we set up Ask Paul to pretty much what you're doing is to bring a really, really jargon-free, easy to understand content to the end user around financial planning and financial products. I'm ex-Irish Life, was in Irish Life for a considerable amount of time, with one product, one company, more of a sales position than anything else. And then I completed what's called a Certified Financial Planner. So I'm registered Certified Financial Planner. And yeah, we basically love what we do from a financial planner point of view. So.
And what does a financial planner, what does that mean? What do you do?
A financial planner literally creates a financial plan with their client, but takes in all aspects of finance. So you're going to be looking at investing, you're going to be looking at taxes, you're going to be looking at pension legislation, and then the very basics. And in fairness, the very, very basics are kind of common knowledge and kind of common sense, in fairness. So for argument's sake, making sure you don't spend all your money before you get the payday, keeping a little bit aside. But people think a bit overwhelmed with money. So our whole thing is that money should enhance your life, not make it stressful. It's actually very easy to manage your money. And we just provide a little bit of direction. Yeah. We'll have clients in here that have, maybe one income coming in, or they might be even not on an income yet coming out of college. We'll give them the same amount of voice, same amount of time as somebody that might have 10 million in their company balance sheet looking to extract wealth from their business. That's what I love about the job. We literally hit everyone. There's some firms out there will only deal with you if you earn over, say, 200 grand or you have over 500 grand in assets. We believe in a quality of financial advice, so anyone that wants advice can come. And through our Instagram page, Ask Paul, we do free content, so you can ask a question for free at any time and anything. And then we have a consultation service that if somebody wants to work with us, they can come in, we can work with them. We've got, like I said, people from maybe investing 100 quid a month rather than millions on an annual basis. We've had a number of lot of winners in here through the doors recently as well. So yeah, basically anyone that wants a financial plan.
Do you find that Irish people have a strange relationship with money?
Well, it was bet into us as kids, don't talk about money. look, it's a real Irish thing. But we're trying to break the barriers of that because money, you should be discussing money. You should be discussing, if you went to, for example, a bar over the years, the only way I would have heard someone discussing money is if they won on the horses, say, for argument's sake, or put a good bet on a match or whatever. But you never hear the bad side of that. Someone always talking about money in a good way. I think it's very important to, you know, if you clear a loan or you don't go for a PCP, you don't buy a new car and you buy a second-hand car for cash. They're the important discussions that we should be having around the kind of the bar or the lunch room or whatever environment you're in, and helping people make the decisions, or I clear down all my debt, or I am up to my eyeballs in debt because I made a few silly decisions. Yeah. And even like letting younger people in the office or younger people in your job, or wherever you have your teacher in the staff room, etc., then they know what you've done wrong and trying to help people.
Yeah.
Because as Irish people, we don't like talking about money, and we need to change that, because it should be. If you go to the States, you go to the UK, it's talked about all the time. You look at the likes of even people that have left the job, the employment sector, even in America. You take a look at the housewife in America will still have her 401k pension. I'll tell you where she's invested, what it's in, what assets, how much fees she's paying, etc. And that's just not happening here in Ireland. Yeah. Not even for females in Ireland, talking about even males in general as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ask Paul was designed purely for that. Actually, we designed Ask Paul and got out in the marketplace. There was no consultations. It wasn't for that. It was genuinely trying to use social media to promote people talking about things. And that snowballed into what it is today, which is obviously great. I think that's why it was so successful. I think like there's loads of people trying to kind of copy what we've done, but they're going out just selling products and mortgage protection or mortgages.
I think if you're genuinely giving advice, people can smell,
that's it. So we
smell
actually,
the bullshit.
Yeah,
you
we
know
just
mean?
Give the advice.
Yeah.
And like some people come in, and recently had somebody in that had a substantial inheritance. And we advised them to buy a commercial property. There's nothing for us in them doing that, but we helped them identify, helped them buy it. They've got really good passive income. They had gone to a bank or any other financial advisor, I know they would have been thrown into a investment product where somebody would have earned commission on it.
Yeah.
So, but they paid a fee, they came in, they got the service, they got the independent advice they required. Now, if they did need something, we would have put it in place for them from a financial planning point of view, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So, look, I love that. I love what we do. Very passionate about it. And I think clients see that as well, which helps.
Okay, so home building, renovations, the whole shebang. I think Ireland is one of the very few EU countries where people dream about owning a home from such a young age.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, there's a huge housing issue at the moment in the country. I'm sure you're seeing the waves and the shockwaves from that. What advice do you have for people, young couples, that are saving for a mortgage? Mm-hmm. What should they be doing? What should they not be doing?
Okay, so I think the biggest rule when it comes to saving for a mortgage is to make sure you have your affordability. A lot of people think that they automatically, once they save their deposit, are going to get a mortgage. That's not the fact. So the bank will always look at the affordability calculator as the main thing that will make or break your application, because everybody knows you need a deposit. Let's say your new mortgage is going to be €1,200 per month. You need to show the bank that you can pay 1,300 or 1,400 quid a month consistently for the previous 6 months at least. Okay. Now, if you're renting for 1,300 or 1,400 quid, you're sorted. You've proved it, because when you move into your new house, you're not going to be renting. If you're still living at home with your parents, you want to be saving that 1,300 or 1,400 quid in a separate account on a monthly basis, credit union, bank, wherever you want to save it. If you're renting and your rent is 900 quid a month, you need to top up that affordability then by saving another 400 or 500 quid a month.
And what about some people that have like car loans or technology loans, some of that? Should they try and clear them off before going for the mortgage?
That's a great question, and it depends on a case-by-case basis. And I'm going to break it down why. So if you have a car loan repayment or any type of loan and it's €400 per month, it greatly impacts the amount you can borrow. But if you have a couple, say they're on combined salary of €100,000 and they qualify for 3.5 times the amount, that's €350,000. If they're going for a 200k house, no, probably don't need to clear the car loan.
Yeah.
If they're going for a 350k mortgage,
yes,
they most likely will.
100%.
But I don't want to give advice that clear your car loans. I've seen some people do that, because the car loan might be 10 or 15k. And if you don't need to clear that, it's massively going to impact your savings and have you renting for a longer and therefore in a financial deficit.
Yeah.
So you're going to delay being a homeowner for maybe 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, house prices are going up in the background as well. So it is really a case-by-case basis. As we'll always recommend someone to go in for a consultation, make sure to get all their figures. If you're not even planning to go for a year, I think get a consultation now, get all your facts right. You know, it's a fee-based service, but then a year's time you don't pay us again. So you come in and we give you all the information you need, because everyone's different. Your uncle, your auntie, your neighbour, the guy you met in the bar, they're all going to have different stories, different incomes, different houses. It's never a one-size-fits-all. So although there's a lot of free information out there, and we create probably the most amount of free information in the marketplace at the moment, it will still always come down to come in, have a consultation, give us everything you have, what you're trying to do. And we'll be honest, we'll say, no, you can't. But we won't say, no, you can't, go away. We'll say, no, you can't. Here's why. Come back to us in 6 months or a year, and then yes, you can. And I think that peace of mind for people is priceless. I think it's worth the money.
And working towards that then.
Exactly. Putting a plan in place. Again, financial plans, all about the plan.
And the 6 months beforehand, what should I definitely not be doing on that bank account?
Okay. Yeah, it's the big one.
The Paddy Power account should be deleted.
Yeah, one of those kind of any of the gambling apps. If you put one of them, those in your statement, it shows a red flag for the underwriter straight away. That's the big thing. A lot of people say, like I've heard people on our Instagram saying, as I've seen right before, that they were quizzed by a bank about spending money in ASOS or sending money online at different toll shops. That's not true. The bank don't care where you spend your money once you have your affordability. Now, the feedback might be you didn't have your affordability in check and we can see you're spending money all over the place if you stopped that and did this. But that's just good advice, even from a bank. Yeah. So they don't really care what you do once you have your affordability. They don't care much. There's loads of people saying don't take out cash, don't take out direct debits, don't do transfers. They genuinely don't care. Yeah. Once you can show that repayment capacity is there, you're laughing.
That makes sense. And when a couple are looking and shopping around for mortgages, should they always go with a mortgage advisor or a financial advisor? Or is it cheaper to go directly to the bank because you're avoiding the mortgage broker's fee?
Yeah, well, it can be. The bank won't charge you a fee, but the bank might have a much higher interest rate. So, I mean, if you go, for argument's sake, into Permanent, just for example, a Permanent TSB rate, versus an ICS rate or even before they were going out of marketplace, Ulster Bank and KBC were quite competitive. You could be paying thousands of difference in interest over the years. So like our fee is 199, which covers 129 euro, which covers your existing kind of your first consultation and as many consultations as it takes to get you through. And we have the whole market. I think people really undervalue. Now there's a lot of bad brokers out there as well, in fairness, but there's a lot of decent brokers out in the marketplace, I will say as well. But if you go to brokers, they've got way more options for you. And everyone's different. So for argument's sake, one bank might accept, like for a self-build, you might talk about a second, there's only one or two banks, in my opinion, that I would go to for a self-build because they're really good at doing self-build mortgages and giving out the stage payments. Other banks are horrendous. And a self-build is probably the most stressful thing you can do. But then some banks might treat your commission differently if you're in a commission employment. They might treat your bonus different. They might take children's allowance
and the mortgage broker will take all this into
all
consideration.
That, and they consolidate everything and say, right, here's your three or four options and here's the rates. But going into a bank, in my opinion, is pure madness, no matter what you're set up for, and just going to one bank, or especially the bank you deal with just because your current account is there. That's complete nonsense. You're probably most likely going to be paying more interest. And there's the big bank lenders out there, which would be the big ones that everyone knows, Permanent TSB, AIB, Bank of Ireland, obviously KBC to a certain extent, and Ulster Bank. But there's also other kind of non-bank lenders out there, like ICS, be well-known, Haven Apart, the Bank of Ireland, or AIB, and you're going to have Finance Ireland, which are phenomenal, especially for long-term fixed rates, especially if you have a credit issue as well, which we might get into in a second. And then also the likes of Advent Money that came into the market recently, lowest. They brought the lowest rate in, and ICS matched them. But that's the knowledge you're paying for when you come to a broker and also helping you package.
Yeah.
So for example, what we do here, and this is probably different than most brokers and firms, that we have our own internal underwrite. So we'll underwrite the case in here first. It takes a bit longer to do it this way, but we underwrite it. 99% success rate getting
suddenly
approvals.
The 199 quid doesn't seem to do you know what I mean?
And the reason's there, and to be very honest with this, is more to try and stop people that aren't serious about going for a mortgage. If it wasn't there, the people coming in off the street every day of the week, what have I bought a mortgage in 3 years, 10? So you're just trying to be fair to the people that want the advice. But buckets of value in that, in my opinion. I think it's a phenomenal service.
100%.
Yeah.
Self-built mortgages?
Oh, nightmare. look, there's a couple of banks out there that will do them, EBS. You know, and here we go, like, we don't even deal with EBS. They're not on our agency. So if somebody comes to us and we give them over EBS, we make money commission there, but we can give them the advice, their consultation, and then say, right, you're going to the EBS.
Right.
because it's probably a much slicker process. Now, we do deal with Bank of Ireland. They're quite good. I will give them that. They're really good. But
is there anything, like, because a lot of couples are now considering self-build route because it's cheaper. Is there anything from a mortgage point of view that they should be doing before they apply for mortgage
from a self-build point of view?
Do you know what I mean?
Safe. So you have your 10% deposit. For self-builds, people don't realise that the land is the deposit. So if you've bought the land, and then the land needs to be, I'll get caught out with this for people coming to me on Instagram and give this advice. Technically speaking, you want the land and the planning permission to be your own name before you go to the bank.
Okay.
Now you can buy the land and have it subject to planning permission being approved. So it can be in someone else's name until you get the planning permission. But ideally, your name on the land and on the planning permission. And the bank won't deal with you if it's not that way.
Okay.
So you need to have that situation there. So that's first and foremost. And that's your deposit. So the land's 50 grand. And the 10% deposit, technically speaking, you can go up to 500 grand value-wise. Okay? Obviously, your income allows you to do that. Now, what the bank will automatically require is a contingency. Okay? Because as everybody knows, they always run over in self-build projects. So they'll want another 10% contingency. This is where a lot of people don't realise they'll have their land, they put the money into the land, they got the planning permission, the architect's fees, everything sorted. And then they come saying, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm saying, no, you need another 50 grand. Right. You're at 450k, you're building a 450 grand build. You need 45 grand as a contingency.
And suddenly they're stuck.
Well, suddenly they're, no, that's another year or two away. And yeah, it's heartbreaking for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, the contingency, I can't.
So beware of the fact that the land will count towards your mortgage in terms of deposit, but you still need the contingency.
Yeah, okay. You still need a contingency. Next of all, and I came up with this with a couple only recently, and it again was a nightmare for them. They got the land, got planned, they had cash, they started to build, and they were like a first floor on the build, and then they went for the mortgage. Mortgage company don't touch that with a barge pole. Because when you're going for a mortgage for a self-build, they do what's called stage payments. So you get, say it's a 400,000 bill, just for to keep the figure simple.
Yeah.
It's going to be four 100,000 euro payments. So in the first instance, they give you 100,000 for your groundwork, clear the ground, put your foundations in, maybe get the blockwork up, whatever, 100K get you. And then the bank require a certificate from your architect or QS saying that all that done is done in accordance with regulations. And then they give you the next bit.
Oh, sugar.
Next bit.
So if you already
So if you skip that and you don't have, if your mate is a builder and your buddy that's good at laying in concrete and you piggledy get to the first floor, the bank won't give you the rest of the money because they haven't got certification and that's right. So they're not going to build another 300,000 on top of that foundation, say, because they haven't had sight of it or they haven't got the certificates. And that can be heartbreaking because they probably would have got the mortgage a year earlier anyway.
Yeah.
But they maybe thought they were being clever trying to see
how
much they
could
get down.
The bank as early as possible.
Oh, like, I'd even be talking to the bank or talking to us before you even get the planning.
Wow, okay.
Because the biggest thing about mortgages, the biggest disappointment that people get with mortgages is that they fail to speak to somebody early enough. So even if it's an ICB issue or a credit issue they didn't realise they had, they didn't check it until the bank, the amount of people that contact us. I went, someone came to me last week again, I went into the bank today with my girlfriend, forgot to pay a credit card before I went to Australia. We get this every second or third day. And the bank have told me, it's on my credit rate and I can't do it for 5 years. She's pregnant, we're due to move in, we put a deposit in a house, and their lives are just falling around them. They're just falling apart around them over one silly decision from maybe 5 years ago or 8 years ago. That would have been solved if they had to come in, because we get an ICB check done as the first kind of thing as well. So it's trying to, that's what a broker does, is eliminate all those pitfalls so they know them. So walking into a bank off the street and just thinking you're
going to think the key here, Paul, is that the earlier in the process that you get involved 100%. With talking to people, the more likely you are for a successful journey throughout the process, 100%. Whether it be buying a house or self-building mortgage or whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%.
Is now a good time to buy a house in Ireland?
Yes, buy one quickly. Some people said to me, you would say this because I'm a mortgage broker. Well, we're financial planners and we do a mortgage broker service. Massive difference. But house prices are only going to increase. We do not have enough supply to meet the demand, and we're not going to. So let's take the next, let's take 5 years. I think we did a podcast with Dave McQuinns before, and was saying 10 years. And he was like, Paul, never say 10 years. It's way too long for economists. And I was kind of going, well, I can't see it being sorted in 10 years. So say five. This government, I'm not going to get into political rant, or the next government, think about 60 months. Just 60 months doesn't sound like that long of a period of time. You could not trust any politician or any government policy to sort this housing crisis out in the next 60 months. Not a hope. So this thing of people saying there's a financial crash coming, there's a housing price crash coming, I'm going to hold off. They're all going to get burnt. I don't mind going type saying this because I know there's a good chance that I'm right. Okay, there might be a small chance that I'm wrong or something around the corner. I've got a crystal ball, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you look at the
but
pure
even
numbers,
COVID, you wouldn't
double digits. And the reason being is supply. So COVID like literally stopped the supply of new builds, but practically everyone was still working. The numbers were really strong, still employment, people getting paid, the put payments came in for employers, or the COVID supports came in for employers. A lot of people got income during COVID and they still wanted to buy houses. And during COVID, tens of thousands of people left school and left college. Tens of thousands of people finished their apprenticeship. Tens of thousands of people came to this country. The likes of TikTok set up in the Dublin city centre. They just brought thousands of people in that want to buy and live here.
So Paul, from the other flip side of that question then, is now a good time to sell?
I don't know what you would sell. I'm going to be genuinely honest with that. I mean, unless you're trying to trade up, you know, if you're trying to trade up and you're trying to get a new family home, but the problem is you can't find family homes. If you've got a 3-bed semi-D and you've got a couple of kids and you're thinking of going again child-wise and you want a 4-bed, your family home is going to go for a very good price, but the 4-bed's going to be even harder to find. And that's the problem, we're not building enough family homes. And anything we are building is built to rent, and it's all apartment style. So there's not enough family homes. So I honestly wouldn't feel comfortable. We have clients, like the good thing about the Ask Paul brand is on Instagram is you can deal with people around the world. You've got clients over in New York, Australia, we've got clients in Dubai, Cayman Islands, the Netherlands, you name it, we've clients everywhere. We have clients coming back to Ireland that have been abroad for years and they're on substantial salaries in different sectors, so financial services sectors, the building sectors, you name it.
Yeah.
And they're coming back and they're ringing builders and asking builders before they go for planning, will they build them a four-bed detached somewhere and they pay them whatever they want? Because they can't find a family home.
Yeah.
They're coming back with three kids and they cannot find a family home that has a decent front garden, decent back garden, and maybe has en suites, or and all they can find is really old houses that are going to maybe planning or to be ripped apart and 100,000 to go into them. So it's a good time to sell is if you have somewhere to buy and you have the savings to buy as well. And just on that, what I will mention just quickly on this subject is that affordability. So people think I've been paying a mortgage of a grand a month for 20 years, I'm going to move to, or 10 years, I'm going to move to a four bed house now, and my mortgage is going to go up by to 1,400. Have the same affordability check. That 400 quid difference, you need to save it somewhere for the last 6 months in order to get the new mortgage. And not again, many people know that. They think as they pay the mortgage, they might have a deposit. You need to consistently be able to prove you can afford a new mortgage, even a trader upper.
Paul, some of the couples that will be following us and listening to this, they might already have bought a house, you know, in their early life, and now there's kids and family, and they're thinking about building a house somewhere in the country, maybe back where he's from or she's from. Would you advise that they try and keep their house and rent it out and try and get the mortgage, or should they sell to reduce the cost of the mortgage, to reduce the total cost of credit over the certain period of time?
Again, this is something we do from a financial planning point of view for couples all the time. Or else people that might have been accidental landlords. But in your example, couple moving back down towards the country area and building a house.
And say they have a 300 grand house
already. If
they
can keep that house in Dublin or Cork or say whatever big city they may be moving from, I would 100% be trying to keep it from a financial planning point of view. So number one, let's say the existing house, three bed in Dublin for argument's sake, is, you know, 1,200 quid per month. They might get 2,000 euro rent, okay? Yeah. So once the bank see that, they're okay. Now, the problem for the couple is that they're going to still need a 20% deposit for the new build. So they don't have to have that in savings. They probably have to sell the three bed in Dublin to release the equity to go towards the fine. And that's fine if you do. But if you have built up savings or you've got an inheritance or you've got cash from somewhere, I'd be trying to keep the house if you can, because what's going to happen is Dublin's going to be like a mini London in that example, and your rent is going to pay your mortgage down over the long term, and sooner or later you have an asset that's producing an income for retirement, etc. So really good if you can do it, but not practical for everybody.
Of course.
But in a financial plan, that's what we'd look at. Now there are certain circumstances where you can release equity, keep the house, and then use the release.
Sorry, what does that mean? Release equity.
Say your house is worth 300k and your mortgage is 150. You might be able to get a new mortgage on that house for 200k, so a remortgage and release the equity. So you know you have your 50k, and that could go towards building your your new house if you wanted to. Trying to organize, like that's like a Rubik's cube request, trying to solve it for people sometimes in relation to rent, what the equity seems to be, the new build. So a lot of planning advice in that. And that's what I said earlier on, flippantly said it probably, that we're financial planners and not just a mortgage broker. There's loads of mortgage brokers walk in and give you a mortgage. You need a financial plan before your mortgage, in my opinion. I think having that advice from a financial planning strategy and someone that can helicopter view what's happening now, what's going to happen in the future, what the tax implications are going to be. There's just, honestly, like so many, it's like snakes and ladders.
Like
you take one
cube.
Move and you're back down as you're going up. So it's really, really, really important that, you get the overall helicopter view of all your options and all your circumstances.
Mortgage rates at the moment.
Yep.
What are they going to do in the next 12
months? Go up. And I don't know, 12 months maybe not. I think they might stay steady for 12 months, but then they're going to go up. If you're looking at the US and looking at the UK, I mean, I did had a client in the UK in London move their mortgage for just over $1 million in December. We were looking at it for them in December, and their fixed rate wasn't up with their existing lender until March. And the interest rate is 0.5% higher already since December. And it's just costing like tens of thousands of interest over the term of that mortgage. But that will happen here. So the ECB will definitely be going up in the coming years.
So I should couples be trying to get the mortgage now and fixing that rate?
Yeah, so that's a great point, actually, So we, like if you go back to my Instagram stories, you'll probably hear me talking last year about fixing for a year or two, or even the year before that.
Yeah.
Now we're saying maybe go 5 years, 7 years.
Wow.
I mean, Finance Ireland have a really good product over 20 years.
Fixed
2.8-ish. Okay. Depends on the overall mortgage and the loan to value and that. But I would say, sorry, it depends on the term, starts at 2%, whether it go 10 years or 20 years. But when you look at the likes of the Finance Ireland, the previous structured product, so a mortgage that would give you 5% fixed, or say 3% fixed, say the old Ulster Bank product was 2.8, I think, fixed for 5 or 7 years. If you move house or you move out of that, you have to pay a penalty to get out of that fixed rate. But the likes of Finance Ireland are making those products much more flexible. You can overpay them. You can move without paying penalties, move the new part or the new house. So before, you never would have fixed for 20 years because you're really restricted in what you can do. But the new mortgage products, again, they're not available to the general public. Yeah. You can't get them without going through a mortgage broker. And they're a phenomenal business. Phenomenal. And you look at those compared to the likes of Bank of Ireland, AIB. They're really trying to help couples secure low interest rates for a very long time, building in flexibility. Phenomenal contract. And but you nearly have to consider that. I mean, 2.8 fixed for even 10 years, you definitely won't be getting a 2.8% fixed rate in 5 years, in my opinion. So you only pay a little bit over the odds now, but probably well worth in the long run. Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably looking at the lowest interest rate environment for 20 years.
Wow.
In this year.
Wow.
Definitely this year, maybe into next year. I don't know when they're going to go up, but they will go up. And I can't see them going back down again, because rates, like house prices, like the stock market, anything to do with finance is generally cyclical, okay? So it goes up, and it comes down, has a cycle, and it goes back up again. Interest rates are the exact same. So my parents bought their house in the 70s, I'm going to say. Interest rates were probably 16 to 18%, which is just not even. Okay, the house was $4,000, though. Let's put it into perspective.
yeah.
They had it easy. And most thing they want to moan about interest rates, it was $4,000 for a house. You wouldn't get a car for $4,000 now. But when they bought the house at 16%, and then interest rates slowly come down, they go to zero, and then they go back. It's just the way it happens.
So we're probably at the lowest point now.
I really think we're at the lowest point. It'll be really and this goes for people that might be coming off fixed rates this year. If anyone watching this is on a variable rate, just please reach out to me, or somebody, anybody, doesn't have to be, even your existing bank, and fix your rate, because variable rates are way more expensive. They're up around 3.8 with some banks. So you could ring your bank, go from 3.8 to 2.3 with one phone call, with no paperwork, no solicitors, no switching your mortgage, and you could potentially save thousands a year in interest.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, lowest interest rate environment for the very, very foreseeable future, in my opinion.
Mortgage terms.
Yeah.
35 years is just like throwing around, like bouncing a ball.
Yeah.
If a couple reduce that, is that a smart move?
Again,
if they can increase the monthly payments?
This is a really good question. I'll tell you why. Yes, on a spreadsheet. So there's two parts to finance. One is a spreadsheet that will give you the answer, and then the other is a financial planner that will give you the answer. The spreadsheet would say, yes, reduce your term, you're going to save buckets, like maybe 70, 80 grand in repayments, okay? And as an example. So if you were on, I think, a 3.5% interest rate on a 300 grand mortgage and went down to 2 point something, you might save 70 or 80 grand over the term of the mortgage. That's money in your back pocket. And to earn 60 or 70 grand or 80 grand, you'd have to earn maybe 140K.
To actually get into your back pocket.
So if you're on 40 grand a year, it means technically working for 3 years just to overpay an interest rate. Think about that. You're going to get up out of your bed every day and go to work for 3 years just to pay a bank interest.
Yeah.
That's gaga. Like, that's mental.
Yeah.
So yes, reduce it and get it down. However, when mortgage interest rates are so low, and you can get really good returns potentially over 10, 15, 20 years in investment markets and have access to your cash, it might be better in some cases to put an investment strategy in place to have a bigger lump sum in year 20 that would clear your mortgage then. Because if anything goes wrong during your life, you have access to that money in the investment account, where you don't want to be going borrowing off the bank or begging off the bank for money. And again, I sometimes see clients do this in the past where they might have an inheritance or a lump sum or a lot of win or whatever it is, and they want to pay their mortgage down or pay 50 or 60 grand off their mortgage. Like, then they probably go into the bank 8 years later and buy a car loan at 8%. You say, well, what's the point of that?
Giving them back
the money.
You're
giving it back at 2% and borrowing it back off them. You're literally giving the bank money for 2% and going back to them and getting it back off them for 8%. Yeah. I think that's what people fail to realise. I know you ask everyone a financial planner does, but a financial planner looks at things between now, whatever age you are now. Say you're a 30-year-old couple thinking of buying a property. We look at things till 100 years of age to make sure, number one, you never run out of money.
Yeah.
Your mortgage is very emotional to you now in this very small piece of time. The next 6 months, all you and your fiance, your partner, your husband, your wife, whatever your situation is, or even if you're on your own, all you care about is buying that property.
Yeah.
We look over that, yeah, and we see the whole picture.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that your whole financial...
It's like the bird's eye view.
The bird's eye helicopter view is there. All you care about is that mortgage and that house and that dream and your visualizing maybe having kids or getting married from the house or having grandkids from the house, whatever your situation is. But it's just a financial purchase.
Yeah.
And you're buying a big financial product, which is called a mortgage. It's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of interest.
Yeah.
So you have to get it right.
Because
otherwise, like I said, you could be that guy going to work for 3 or 4 or 5 years just to pay a bank back. that's madness. Like, that's really, really bugs me, like, when people do that. Because they don't know they're doing it, but it's that's what we're here for, to try and educate people on that and make the right decision. So, yes, the term lower is always going to be better, but mightn't be practical for the family.
Yeah.
And the reason people go to 35 years as well is to get the mortgage calculator to work for them, that affordability.
Because
if your mortgage is, say, 1,700 quid at 30 years, and it's 1,900 quid at 25 years, you mightn't have the affordability in there. Now, what I will say is a lot of couples as well do the whole thing. We'll start at 30 and we'll move it down, and they never do, unfortunately. So it starts off as a wish, and then they get a new car loan, life gets in the way, and you start having kids, they get creche fees, and they never tackle the mortgage again. So we always like to see, we start a mortgage, a very small investment account, even 100 quid a month, and an increase of 150, 200 over the years. You should have enough money or a massive lump sum there for year 10, 15 or 20 to make a massive impact on your mortgage. Yeah, or buy a second house or build your holiday home or whatever.
I love that. That's
There's loads of options.
Paul, for couples that are, say, in the 30s, they've no kids yet and they haven't got married, weddings are expensive, kids are expensive.
Yeah.
Should they be looking at the mortgage first before they get those two things involved? Because obviously the bank is going to say, wait, you have a 20 grand loan for a wedding and you have a child on the way.
Yeah, so I'm going to break down the two pieces almost. Yeah. Let's look at the kind of cost of living after getting married, like weddings, etc. And then let's think about babies separately, because there's a lot of advice around that. So yeah, if you're going to go get a mortgage and you're thinking to have a wedding in the next couple of years, I would probably say, personally, I think get married. Get married, then get the house. Get the house, then get married. Yeah. The reason being, if you take a 20 grand out of your savings, it could take you 2 or 3 years of renting again before you build it up.
Yeah.
Weddings aren't going up in value.
Yeah.
Property prices are.
Yeah.
So from a financial point of view, get the house, get it now. So if you're 20 grand now, put it towards a house, get on the property ladder, then get married in a few years. That'd be my advice straight away. Bank aren't going to know you're getting married. I mean, you're going to be engaged, but they're not going to they're not going to be saying to you, and you're sitting down with your application, when you're getting married and what you spend on your wedding, that's not going to come into the equation at all. So you had always try and get the house first, then marriage afterwards, if you could do it that way.
Especially if there's savings there for the wedding.
Especially, you don't need to deplete your savings, because you're, like I said, and this is really just down towards property price. Unfortunately, where we are now in this country is that you have to prioritise getting your foot on the ladder, because if you don't, it's just going to cost you more and more money, and that's a fact. So that decision could cost you, maybe you're going for a 3-bed house now, and a 3-bed in 5 years could be 30, 40 grand the difference.
Yeah.
And you've just spent 20 grand on a wedding. That's a 50 grand decision you've made.
Yeah.
Again, let's go back to how you earn your money. To earn 50 grand, you're on an 80 grand salary.
Yeah.
So, you know, could be nearly 6 months of your working life just going for the wrong financial decision.
Yeah.
I'd always try and get the nail the house now while you can, especially if you have savings.
Kids,
big one. Bank can't discriminate against you for being pregnant or planning to have a family. So if you're going towards getting a mortgage and you're pregnant, the bank can't ask you anything. They can't really talk to you about it. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I wanted to separate that question out. Get this a lot on Instagram, like, you know.
So if I'm in a couple and herself is pregnant,
we can go to a
bank and the bank can't call that a dependent.
No. And as well as that, the only time it becomes difficult for the couple in that situation, or the person having the baby in that situation, is if they're going on unpaid maternity leave. So if you're on maternity leave and you're not being paid and you're only getting the state benefit, the bank can't do anything. They can't discriminate because you're going back to your job. I mean, you're allowed to have children and you're allowed to have. It really frustrates me, because I get people coming to me on Instagram saying, we're thinking of having a baby, we're going to put it off the next year and try and get the house next year. I'm going, hold on. Let's not be putting off having kids for a house. It's just gaga thinking, like, it's madness. But people are so paranoid and so much misinformation out there. So the only time it would affect an application is if you're going for the mortgage today and you're on unpaid leave.
Okay.
So let's say, for argument's sake, you've been on 6 months maternity leave, you've been paid or not been paid by your employer, it doesn't make a difference, but now you're taking 6 months unpaid leave. The bank will have a little bit of an issue, because they might be thinking you're not going back to work. And they're using your full salary before you went to maternity leave for your calculation, your 3.5 times your income. So if you have a letter saying from your employer that you're returning to work on the 1st of June and you're going back to the same salary and benefits, that's really important, you'll be okay.
Okay.
The banks don't mind. So don't be putting off having kids and stopping having families for the mortgage market. That's madness. You don't need to do that.
And if a couple already have a child, how much does that impact the mortgage
application?
This
again, an old wife's tale. The only way it really impacts is creche fees.
Okay.
So if you have a monthly commitment for your creche fees for the next 4 years, the bank technically take that, which is completely wrong, but they technically would take that as a mortgage or a loan repayment. So it's like having a car loan of a grand. And that's going to impact your borrowing ability. But having a child, the expense of a child doesn't come into it. Okay. Now, unless, again, you've got maybe six kids and you're going to two salaries at very maximum, you're trying to even get a little bit of an exemption, you'll be scrutinised a little bit.
Yeah.
But I've never had a situation where someone's coming with two or three kids and the bank has said, no, you have too many kids, you can't afford a mortgage because of the kids. That doesn't come into it.
Well, because actually some of the questions on our Instagram were in relation to kids, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't come into it. Sorry, I'm going to say 99% of the time it doesn't come into it, but one application might be a bit weird.
What are some common mistakes you see young couples make before applying for a mortgage?
ICB, the Irish Credit Bureau, or the CERT and the Central Bank Registrar for people, where people haven't paid a loan back, or they've went away and forgot to pay a loan, and they come back and they think it's forgotten about, and they go in to get a mortgage and they're told they can't get one because he or she has a credit rating problem, and that's devastating to everybody. So if anyone's watching this and they have made a mistake in the past, even if they made a mistake and rectified it, it doesn't mean the ICB was rectified. So make sure you get your ICB report or your central credit, actually the central credit report is actually replacing the ICB, so, but get the both if you can and look through them. And again, you're and probably
can, is
not
that, is that public access?
Oh, it's public access, yes. Okay. You go to centralcreditregister.ie or ICB.
You just type in your PPS, is it?
So, well, no, you just put in your name and your address, the name address for where you live since you were 18.
Okay.
So if you've moved a few times, you're in your 30s or 40s, whatever, by now, you have to put them all in. And your date of birth and that kind of stuff. They send you out the report. Now, the report's a bit, some people find them hard to read, but I think people panic when they see five or six pages and it's not readable. But it actually just gives you an example of what all the markings mean on the report as well. If you have an ICB issue, technically speaking, a bank won't lend to you if your problem isn't solved today. So let's say I borrowed $5,000 from AIB 10 years ago and I never paid them back. And I went to Australia, to Canada, whatever it was, came back and I forgot about it. And now I'm sitting here and I'm in a situation where I'm going for a mortgage and my $5,000 is still outstanding. If I have to clear that $5,000 first of all to start repairing my credit rate. Yeah. If I clear that $5,000 today, the clock starts today, not from 10 years ago, from today.
Okay.
So I've got 5 years before my ICB is clear.
Okay.
Now most of the banks, AIB, Bank of Ireland, Permanent TSB, KBC, Ulster Bank, the bigger banks, they need a 5 year clear ICB before they lend to you. It's a long time.
Yeah.
A couple of the banks will look at it after 2 years, but they'll only look at it after 2 years if you have 100% solved the problem and you've also maybe taken out a very small loan in between now and 2 years to show you've repaid it. Now, what I want to say at this point as well is that to anyone watching that's young and thinks they need to get a loan to have a credit rating before they get a mortgage, you don't. That's what you'd have to do in America and the UK. If you watch American content, they'll always talk about take a credit card, improve your credit score. That's bullshit. It doesn't exist in Ireland.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. But if you had a bad credit experience and you're trying to repair it and show a bank, hey, I'm actually okay, I paid that loan back.
Does it help couples if they have had the car loan or whatever and they've proved to pay it back?
Oh, yeah. No, but not if your problem still isn't solved.
Yeah.
So you could have made a mistake 10 years ago and had 10 loans in between now and then, but that problem still exists today.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very important to repair that now and then the clock starts. But the best I could do for you is 2 years with one or two banks. But typically speaking, the major bank's going to be 5 years, which is a long time. Well, especially if you had one recently where someone's credit card was evoked for £1,200 or something from 8 years ago. Yeah. But, you know, £1,200 mistake. But they're 35 now and they were late 20s and foolish. And, you know, they now have a very successful career. But they didn't pay the bank back at one stage. So, you know, you'd nearly say. But I think they should be penalised in a different way. I think they should probably be penalised by higher interest rates rather than flat out no's. Because they're flat out known. People putting them in a rental trap now for another £100,000 over £1,200. They're going to pay rent for £100,000 now in 5 years, which is nonsense. That's not fair. It's just not fair. I mean, it's completely over the top, in my opinion. But banks and underwriters are there to protect the money and protect the people. So that's what the rules are.
Paul, I think it's very clear from our conversation that financial advice and a financial advisor can really aid a couple in applying for mortgages and setting themselves up for life. Obviously, not everybody's going to go with Ask Paul if they're down in Cork or wherever they are. I'm sure you do Zoom calls, but for those that are looking at a financial advisor and it's not yourself, what should they be looking out for when they're looking for a financial advisor?
I think fee-based is always good. You know, I think people forget what you pay a fee for. So it's like anything. If you only get anything for free, there's an alternative motive behind that, without a shadow of a doubt. So I think you want to be looking at someone that gives you a fee-based service. It's going to let you come in, have a chat with them in their office, and also be able to have that, you know, there's nothing to be gained. There's nothing to be lost. Like, if the client doesn't buy off you or doesn't take a mortgage with you for whatever reason, you've still got paid for your time giving really good advice. Yeah. If you go in and someone's saying, I give you a free
consultation, but they're trying to sell you a certain mortgage package.
Thing as a free, who gives a free consultation? That doesn't make sense. Yeah. The banks do this all the time. Come in for free consultation. They just want to sell to you. That's all that is. Yeah. Come in and let me sell to you. That's all that pitch is. Yeah. And a lot of financial advisors around the country use that as well, which is nonsense. And the industry's moved on. You need to, we're a professional services company, you know. So it needs to be fee-based, in my opinion. And that's where you're going to get really good, honest opinions.
Neutral
opinions. Yeah. But Aspall is in literally every county as well, so there's no reason why you would go anywhere else. But yeah, look, if you do, like I said, feedback's always going to be best. You're going to get independent advice and someone that really puts your interest first before theirs.
Are there certain red flags that you would see in terms of cowboy advisors or people like that? What should be something that would just be a complete no-no if you're talking to somebody?
I think someone that's a tied agent. So if you're a tied agent, you might be a tied agent of one company in particular where you can only deal with one life insurance company for that be other terms of business. That's always a red flag to me because, you know, you're tied to one company.
They're basically really, selling that company.
They're just selling that one company. They're not looking at the overall market to get you the best price or the best product. So that's a big no-no for me, whether it's pension, investment, or mortgage advice. Now, you can't get tied for one mortgage advice. I think you need to trust the person. I think you have to be able to trust them. But you also want to deal with, what we've done probably so well is that, okay, I'm nearly 40, I don't know when this video is going out, but I'm 40 in April this year. There's a lot of brokers out there. Thank you. There's a lot of brokers out there, and not disregarding them whatsoever, 55, 60 years old, they run great practices and they're brilliant at what they do. But people want to relate to people something similar to them as well. So I think that a lot of people, when they're going for first-time buyers and they're doing this, they like to have somebody that's maybe done it recently, has the experience, has that kind of client bank as well, that they've dealt with all this, rather than going to somebody that maybe hasn't got a mortgage themselves in the last 30 years and doesn't really empathize with what your personal circumstances are. Yeah. I think if you don't get that empathy from the advisor, walk out the door. And anyone that speaks to you in jargon or tries to confuse you or doesn't make this plain English, get out of the office or get off the Zoom call as soon as possible. Because that's not right. You're not supposed to understand everything that's going on. And it's not that complicated. If anybody makes this industry complicated, it's that they're trying to make themselves feel more important than they are, in my opinion. It's logical. It's very plain English. People understand interest rates. People understand basic maths. People understand terms and mortgages. And there's loads of really cool calculators to show people and help advisors explain the complexness of our industry in an easy way. And if advisors not taking the time to do that, don't deal with them.
I love that. Paul, we've really been talking for nearly an hour, so we better stop. But thank you very much.
Great, thanks.
Really, really good advice. If there's anything you wanted to talk
about. No, I was just looking at it. It wasn't even 50 minutes.
Thank you very much,
Paul. That was really enjoyable. Thanks.
If people want to find you online, where is the best place to do it? Or where's the best place to...
Look, if someone wants to reach out to us, do it online at askpaul.ie or through our Instagram page. We have on our link tree all our consultations from financial planning, mortgages, pensions, investments. We do free protection consultations for likes of income protection or mortgage protection.
I'll pop on those.
Yeah, perfect. So they're all the links are there.
Perfect. Paul, super.
Cheers, thanks
very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to check out Paul online. Just Google Ask Paul. He's basically everywhere. I'll also post his details in the description below anyways. Thanks everyone and see you all next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.